Hello everyone, The Other Mark here. Don't forget we have got our first ever live podcast on the 29th of June at the Ball Inn in Thorpe Eslet, that is in Rotherham. It's free admission and it starts at 4 p.m.
Ish.
Enjoy the episode.
Evening boys.
Evening Sally.
Welcome to The Chatting, your local podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Kirk.
I'm Mark.
And I'm
The Other Mark.
3 pints Sally. And what are you having?
Oh, I'll have a whiskey sour.
Cheers. I'll fetch him over.
Evening, boys.
Evening.
Evening, Rob.
How are we all doing? All right.
All good. All right. How are you?
Oh, marvellous. Marvellous. Yeah. Absolutely marvellous, yeah. Pain in my leg, but I'm all right.
Yeah. Pain in your leg?
You're more than a pain in the leg.
I don't like to say I've got sciatica, but well, I've trapped
my... That's what you're going to say, though, isn't it? That's what you've got.
Well, yeah, I've trapped my sciatic nerve. Ooh. So, and it's really painful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is it terminal?
I don't think it's terminal, but it feels like that way sometimes. Just trying to sleep.
I know, mate.
You've had it before,
yeah,
haven't
I
you?
I did, a few weeks ago. A few weeks
oh,
ago.
Oh, really? That soon?
Yeah, is it like a real big pain in the arse?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then that shoots then down your leg.
Can I just ask something? So you've both had it. Is that not what old people get? Because I've never had it.
So it's funny because I ended up going to the hospital with mine because I didn't know.
Like old people do.
I didn't know what it were. And when the doctor said it sounds like sciatica, and I said to him, I said to him, surely I'm not that old. So I said to him, and he laughed and he says, very common misconception that sciatica is to do with age.
It might be.
He says it can happen at any age. He says at end of day, it's something that will have happened. It's bulged a disc out your back and pressing on your sciatic nerve. That's it.
That, Mark, and sciatic nerve weren't invented when you were born.
Probably not, no. I don't think medicine were sort of generally...
But I hope you don't get it, mate, because it's really painful.
It is.
Well, I mean, I have aches and pains, but I don't think I've had that. I think I know about it, won't I?
There's no way you can put your leg in any position where the pain actually goes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Do you only get it in your legs then, or
it starts?
I'm asking you if you're a doctor.
It gets
trapped
in your lower back, right, almost at the top of your ass, on one particular side. Yeah.
He's American.
Glutamus maximus.
Saying ass is a bloody donkey, innit?
Yeah. True.
Hey, full house for you tonight, Rob. Pain in the ass. Ass donkey.
So yeah, but I'm all right. Other than that, I'm absolutely fine. How about yourselves? Oh, you've just been an oldie, haven't you?
I have.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Welcome
back.
Thanks.
Did you have a nice time?
Yeah, we're good, thank you.
Nice. Wait, where did you go?
We went to just outside Antalya in Turkey.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, we're lovely. Four days of rain.
Oh, no. I was trying to ask you what weather was
torrential.
Like.
And we're talking thunder and lightning storms. It would, yeah.
Oh, dear.
Pretty
all
live.
Day, all day for 4 days?
Pretty much. Yeah. There were sort of spells when it stopped. And then it just start again, and you were like, you couldn't venture out because you'd just get caught in it. So we went away to Spain last year, and we were caught in all that bad flooding that they had in Malaga. Yeah. We're going to Turkey this year, you know. It's supposed to be really nice and warm, and well, I suppose it was quite warm, but very, very wet.
So were it like rainy day at school?
It was horrendous. We were just sat in the lobby, just getting drinks.
Playing cards?
Yeah, playing cards.
And drinking.
Yeah,
and drinking.
And getting drinks.
And getting drinks.
Yeah. Well, it were beautiful here, Mark, if it's
well, I know that. Yeah, I've come back and everyone's got a tan. I'll tell you what were quite interesting, though. When I booked it, I actually booked it whilst we were away in Spain one night, and we'd had a few drinks.
A few drinks?
I don't know how you're going to say. I thought you were going to say we booked it on teletext.
Teletext holidays. No, so we were when we were on holiday last year.
Yeah, but that was a thing, though, wasn't it?
I know, yeah.
Anyway, carry on, Mark.
No, you just made it up, Mark.
No, I mean, as in, no, I know, but I'm worrying. It were big. Everybody, that's what everybody did.
You strike me as the type of person that would have booked a holiday on teletext.
I didn't because I wasn't old enough.
Really?
Oh. Get out.
No, I'm thinking that. Anyway, let's get a little bit of Mark's story.
So. Booked it last year. We were on holiday and I had a few drinks and I woke up next morning and I'm like, oh, hang on a minute, Ellen, we booked an holiday. and I didn't realise, so we booked it and this place was called the hotel Ramada Wyndham, and I thought it was called Side, S-I-D-E, which is how it's spelled. Anyway, it was a couple of nights before we went away and we're sat in a local pub, and one of the guys was saying, oh, where is it you're going? And I said, just outside Antalya, a place called Side. And he burst out laughing. Side? He says, it's Sea Day. Yeah, so, yeah, that's where we're at. Yeah.
And, what was Sea Day like?
Sea Day was lovely.
Yeah.
Side was better.
Yeah, not at all what I expected. And so there was like old ruins. So there was like an old amphitheatre. So it looked a little bit like the Colosseum.
Yeah.
There was that. There was it just almost what you would expect in ancient Rome, but in Turkey. It was just mind-blowing. I was like, where's all this come from?
So I'm intrigued that you said it's not what you expected.
Yeah.
What did you expect?
I just expected just a nice touristy coastal town.
Right.
The fact that there were all these ruins and this history that was quite... It was very grand. Do you know what I mean? There were big... sort of marble pillars or concrete pillars, whatever they would have been made out of.
Well, I think they built them in the 80s for tourists, you know. For
probably, along with pyramids.
For people like you to go, there's nothing here. Let's build this stuff.
They bought them off Timo.
That's what they did.
Not that you saw much of
it. There were like some roads and they were just lined by with these pillars. You know, like the large pillars at the end that used to hold things up or create entrance ways to things. And it was just, we're mad. I tell you what, were funny though, because we were walking into there on the second day. And there was a guy, and I looked, and I'm going to put the video.
Where were you walking?
Into Sea Day.
All right. Okay.
Well, we got dropped just on the outside of Sea Day at a mall, and we said, well, we're going to walk down the seafront, down to the harbour. But as we were walking along, and I don't know if you've ever been to Turkey. I know you have, Kirk. Mm-hmm. Have you been to Turkey, Mark?
I can't remember. I have.
People tell you that they sell this, like, knock-off gear, fake gear, everywhere.
Absolutely.
Brilliant.
Right. I never expected the scale of it. We walked for 8 miles, and the first 4 miles that we walked in, it was literally copy and paste, shop after shop after shop after. And I would honestly, I was
actual proper shops.
Proper shops, just with like Barcelona shirts, Stone Island tops, and you know, they were like 75-year-old blokes wearing Balenciaga bloody shirts and grannies wearing Stone Island hoodies, and you know what I mean? I'm like, what's going off here?
If I can just hijack you a little bit there, that they cater for everything and everybody, right? So when we was there in Antalya, my wife went out shopping. I stayed back because I didn't want to go out shopping, and she come back. She went, oh, they've got some Hugo Boss tops. Out there, obviously we need the copies or whatever, but they look really good, they look really quality. I says you won't get ones to fit me, do you know what I mean, like, you know. And she's like, no, I told him, and he says yes we do sizes to fit fat men. she says so why don't you come and have a look. So went out.
No offence, but this will suit you and fit.
Went out, walked in to this guy going, fat man! I thought, right, okay, walked in.
Subtle?
Yeah, literally, got a top out, 7XL.
Well, it was funny that, because as we were walking along, and there were shops that advertised, and literally the sign said, Rambo size. Rambo size, it was 7XL, 9XL, and like, I mean, a 3XL were like a medium over here.
Yeah.
Have they seen Rambo?
Well, I've no idea. It was just, honestly, mind-boggling. Anyway, so I was walking along this street, and there's all this snide gear, and I don't know if you know, but, well, you might have seen it, Kirk. They have, like, barrels that are stored on top of the roofs and with solar panels, and it's like a solar-powered water heater that they've got installed on all the roofs, because obviously they get loads of sun.
Oh, yeah.
Especially when we're not there. Anyway, as we're walking along, we looked across the road, and there was a guy, and I'm not exaggerating, it must have been 25, 30 metres up, this building. And he was literally, no scaffolding, no ladders, no harness, no PPE whatsoever, just at the top of this building, like shimmying across the metalwork and the framework that was holding these barrels in place. And he must obviously been doing something. But it were like... How's he got up there? How's he going to get down? And what if he falls? Do you know what I mean? The risk assessment.
Has he done a 1 minute risk assessment?
No, honestly, I actually say it on the video as I zoom into him. I go, you know, can I see your Rams, mate? Have you signed in? Over here, honestly, there would have been an absolute meltdown.
Yeah. You find that when you go abroad, though, think like working with no harnesses on, no IV, not that an IVs would make any difference, but
when you're falling,
but they just don't care, do they?
No,
they just don't care.
No,
just get the job done.
And it's probably one of those. If you don't do it, we'll get somebody else to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Where did you fly from?
We flew from Manchester, and there's a quite a funny story about that as well. So
was Mark with you?
No, don't blame me.
We were sat in this. I forget what it was called. It was like a
lounge.
Like a pub eatery sort of thing. We're having a few drinks and some breakfast. In the airport, yeah. Mm. And as flight, we're boarding in about, I don't know, 20 minutes or whatever. And we're having a few drinks and whatever. And just sat there. And then we said, right, we're gonna get a move on. So we said, yeah, no. So we finished up what we were doing. Set off walking. And then Seb, his phone rang. And you were like, who's this? He answered it. And he was like, yeah, we're on his way now.
Is it pilot?
And he went, yeah, we're on his way to gate now. Right, and he were like, right, we need to get a move on. I said, what's up? And he went, well, that's the boarding staff. They want to know where we are.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
Bearing in mind, it was a 10-minute walk to our gate. Mm. So we were like legging it through Manchester Airport.
But why?
What happened?
Why were they having to ring you to find out where you were? Did you got time wrong at flight or something?
I've no idea. We literally got there, got up the stairs to the plane, and literally everyone else has just sat there. We were like, oh.
So how long were you sat in the pub? Like the pub for?
You don't know, you were drunk.
Hour and a half, couple of hours maybe.
Wow. You got there quite late then, didn't you?
Oh, we're quite relaxed about it.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm not.
Yeah.
We've had that conversation about you getting to airport
absolutely
early.
Early as possible. That's when your holiday starts.
Yeah, but I just can't get my head around how you were still sat in the pub just casually drinking and eating and not thinking.
It was just so...
Had you looked at times on board to see
time... Well, yeah, it said not yet boarding.
Really?
And then, well, the last
time, are you sure, Mark?
Then they ordered another drink.
Yeah.
And then another.
Yeah. I've never seen it say not yet boarding.
It did. It said not yet boarding.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, not boarding.
Had you got your gate number now?
Yeah.
Oh.
But you just ignored it and carried on drinking. Either that or not had updated, or we didn't look again.
I think I know which one it was.
Yeah.
But you made it.
We made it, yeah. About Skinner's teeth.
What I want to know is, I don't remember anywhere on my booking does it have my phone number on. For them to have known.
I must admit, I was sat here going, do they check your mobile number?
Did they know
his mobile number?
Yeah, that is impressive.
They must have. They rung him anyway. We were like, we need to get a move on.
Fair play, you know.
Yeah. Absolutely. As we got there,
the staff that were waiting, you know, to scan your boarding pass and whatever, just before you get on plane. And they were like, come on. And we were like, oh, Christ,
rolling their eyes.
Seb's
like, we're just on M1. We're pulling off any minute. We're just running a bit late.
Yeah.
Was Seb the lead name on the booking or not?
No, so he'd booked separately to what, because obviously I'd just booked ours when I'd had a few drinks one night, but he'd booked on to the same holiday. So fortunately, because I didn't get a phone call.
Oh, so it weren't a group booking. It went, right, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
You weren't as bothered about Mark being on flight.
No, leave him there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll tell you, while we were there, and obviously the weather picked up eventually, I didn't go in the pool because the pool was absolutely freezing. Everyone that went in the pool said how cold it was, and I was like, I won't enjoy it. And I'll just be in there shivering.
Yeah.
But Leonie's boyfriend, and Leonie, they went with us, and her boyfriend, he were like, he's like a big kid. So there were like a couple of younger people with us, and they were all splashing in pool. That next thing, he disappeared. And he's 23, 24. And next thing, he comes running back with an inflatable ring. And we're like, where'd you get that from? And, oh, I got it from over there. Like pointing over at this, like a string line with this inflatable ring on it. Anyway, so they're messing around, jumping in it, and splashing around and whatever. Then he disappeared again, and he come back with an inflatable alligator. And we're like, he's like, they've got loads of things here. But then he's just diving in, pull with it, and they're all messing around and whatever else. Then he disappeared again, and he came back with a Lilo. Honestly. We're like, what are you fetching next? And he says, they must just leave it over there for everyone to have a go at. Anyway, later that day, we see one of the animation team come walking around the pool, goes up to him and says something, and he's like shaking his head, and she walks off with her hands in the air like, no, I'm not having it. And we're like, what's going on? So I goes over to him. I said, what's wrong with her? And he says, she wants to know my room number. He says, I'm not giving her my room number. What does she want my room number for? So we're like, I've no idea. I said, but she didn't look very happy. So me being me, I wandered over to where the old animation team was stood. So I went over and I says, is everything okay? She went, yeah. I said, well, what do you want his room number for? She went, oh, the manager wants it. So we're like, why does the manager want his room number? And she was like, well, I'm not so sure. But the animation team manager, he said, I'll call. So he rang the manager.
I hope there's an ending to this story.
There is. And anyway, so he rings the manager. And then about 15 minutes later, this really smart-looking woman comes walking through. Guest relations. Hello. Right. So the problem is, one of your party, the guy there in the yellow shorts, has stolen all these inflatables. And I'm like, what?
No.
Yeah. And I'm like, what do you mean stolen them? He's just taking off there. They're just... No, no. They belong to the shop. I'm like, what shop? Oh. Come with me. So Mike walk into this shop, and there's a guy sat there with his phone showing us his CCTV, and Mike's going, hang on, I'm not contesting it. I know I took them, but I didn't know that it was a shop. And they're like, yep. And she's saying, yeah, it is a shop. You owe him 90 euros. And we're like, but they're all dusty and everything. He thought that they were just there and getting reused. Turns out they're display items. So he's like, well, he's got them back now. He's taken them back. Yeah, but you owe him 90 euros. So he's like, well, what for? Anyway, long story short, I ended up giving him 60 euros. And 60 quid, sorry.
And did you take the inflatables back?
No, that was his argument. Which was right. Mike was saying, now, hang on a second. If I'm paying for him, I'm keeping him.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But you're in a foreign hotel.
Higher charge.
In a foreign country. You know, it was just like, look, I need to make this go away. Here's 60 quid, mate. And he just, you know.
I 60 quid to hire some inflatables.
That's what we said, yeah.
60 quid to hire nothing.
Yeah.
And he get out. I'm a bit like...
Well, they did hire him because...
Yeah, they used him.
Oh, right, yeah, I suppose.
Because when
yeah.
you do know how hire works, aren't you? you give it back. Yeah. You don't keep it because that's buying.
Yeah. I just can't get my head around. How didn't he realise it was a shop? Did it really not look like a shop, Mark?
So,
with the prices on it, I'm not sure.
The thing is, there's no... From the outside... There was nothing to say that there was a shop. So it was like almost, you know, like you have a covered outdoor restaurant seating area for eating outside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They were hung underneath there. The shop was on the inside, on the back of the wall. So you wouldn't have seen it. You could have argued, why were they hanging there? Maybe they're for display purposes
with
or whatever.
No price
but there were no price on them. There was nothing to indicate, you know, but... Yeah,
that,
so
that must have happened to him before, and he must go, listen, it's easy to get 90 euros out of everybody. Yeah. I'll just put them here, and then I'll charge them and show them a CCTV. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, what would have been worrying is when he starts coming down with ice creams. Ice creams, everybody. where were they from? I'm just building up there. It's got freezers. Yeah. It's got food. It's got everything. Yeah.
You get free Lays, free Doritos. Yeah, but I tell you what, we did go to, and it must have been closely associated with the hotel. There was a bar, and on the first night, this like rep guy comes walking in with a phone and a clipboard, and he's like, yeah, so I'm from something called Fizz Beach Bar, which is just up the road. He said, I do free pickup, free drop off. We do food, we do drinks, karaoke, DJ, you know, everything. Heated pool through the day and all this sort of stuff. He said, so just let us know if you want to come up one day. So we went in. It were amazing. Really good. You know, like, as you would expect a beach bar to be. An inside one. Because obviously it was at night time when we went. But, you know, really relaxed. The staff are just sort of, you know, almost mingling with you.
Yeah.
Fetching you drinks, entertaining. It was just brilliant. There were different things on each night.
And because it were undercover, it didn't matter. They were absolutely
selling it down. Well, they had a log burner in it. I've never seen anything like it. It must have stood 4 foot tall, this log burner. And obviously, because it would have been quite cold for the locals, but it was absolutely blistering.
Mm. So was you not all inclusive?
Yeah.
But you still went out buying beer?
Absolutely. Huh. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's not just about sticking in a hotel, because that's not, you know...
The idea of all inclusive?
No, the idea of all inclusive is have something to go back to. You can still go out and enjoy yourself.
I think the beer were that bad. He went, I can't drink this.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I would say all inclusive is... I'm staying in resort.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I'm in resort.
Oh, no, I start climbing walls.
I get that. I'm not saying there's a right or wrong. You know what my opinion is. I like all-inclusive, but I think it's just that thought process that you pay more for all-inclusive.
Yeah.
Because everything's included.
Yeah.
It seems a bit silly that you book all-inclusive and then you go behave walk about like self-catering.
It would be the reason why I would go I would say, oh, I'm not going to go. I intend to go out of the hotel to eat and drink. Therefore, I'm not going all-inclusive.
Yeah, just board or bed and breakfast.
I don't think Turkey's the sort of place I'd book to go anything other than all-inclusive. Because, you know, trying to find, you know, a particular restaurant.
Is that not the fun of it, though? Because if I went on all day, I'd be like, I want to look around for bars and restaurants and try them.
We did.
Well, obviously.
So almost like a safety net.
Yeah.
The all-inclusive is a safety net. You know that...
Absolutely. Right. And then if you would go out for a couple of days and then venture out and
I suppose,
you've still got something to go back to if you don't find...
I suppose if the price is right as well, then you might think, why not?
Yeah.
Because there's certain places that I've gone to in the past where, Jamaica being one of them. And they're always a bit, you know, oh, you don't want to be going out on your own and sort of thing. So you tend to go to a resort and you don't go out of it. You do stay in it. But then there's places, for instance, Spain, where I'm like, I'd never want to go all inclusive in Spain because I'm just going to walk out my front door every day.
Absolutely.
You know
what
I mean?
Happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we were good. Got on a couple of buses, which were interesting because you get to see the bits you don't get to see in a taxi because all the... scenic routes, if you like. And that was so funny because there were so many people crammed onto these buses. Right, you'd get on, you'd be like, oh, it's all right on here. And then he'd stop, at, you know, he'd bip his own, somebody else would get on, then bip his own, then three more would get on, then bip his own, four more would get on, and he'd be like, right, everyone stood up now. He'd bip his own, and some more people would get on.
And these people that are getting on, they don't want to get on, they're just forcing them off. Yeah. Is that what you mean? They just beep, gotta get on.
Yeah, no, and obviously everyone were going to intercede here, but.
What's the sign on the lollipop?
And with that, just some. I know it sounds daft, but very rare I'll get on public transport or whatever if I'm in places like that. So with that, just something as simple as like literally stood at a bus stop, got on, got your cash out, get them whatever they told you.
Well, you actually paid. Well, you could pay when you got on or when you got off.
All right.
I didn't realise. First time I got on, it just went, yeah, it ticks. So when I took a seat and then just paid it when we got off, and it were like,
strange, isn't it?
Yeah. And it was just £2. £2, no matter where you went.
Yeah.
£2. Happy days. But it was just... I like it because you get to see a bit more. Do you know what I mean? It feels a little bit more authentic. You can get a taxi anywhere, and you literally... A taxi's okay if you know exactly where you're going and what you're going for. You just, you know, get in, you want to get there quickly. But sometimes you see stuff on off the beaten track sort of thing, and it's just, you know, a bit more interesting.
I'm surprised you... you can't call him your son-in-law, but I'm surprised he said, hey... It's free, this.
I've got us a free bus.
You might start driving it. I'll drive this. It's fine.
I tell you what does amaze me, though, and I know we've all been abroad, and, you know, it's the same in many countries, how, like, they don't wear motorbike helmets.
Nope. Mm.
And it's by choice if they want to wear them. And you see them cutting each other up, and you're like... there were one at days, actually, we were going in on bus, and I was like, there's got to be accidents, because there's cars and bikes just cutting each other up everywhere. And I'm like, there's got to be accidents. Anyway, on the way back, we saw a taxi actually getting towed up a tow truck, all the front end smashed in on it. Mm. Yeah, but it just...
It's mad, isn't it? I mean, I can relate to that with Philippines. It's just utter chaos.
I couldn't hire a motorbike. You know, because you can hire motorbikes and quads and whatever. Yeah, you can take them on the roads.
Yeah.
No chance.
Yeah.
Have you ever been anywhere like Morocco?
No.
Have you been to Egypt?
Yes.
Well, they're very similar, but it's the same out there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, you know... Three men on one motorbike.
Go forwards and hope for the best.
Three men on one motorbike, two goats on the shoulders, and wives on top of goats. You know what I mean? It's like, what are they doing?
Yeah.
It's mental.
Did you go to Land of Legends while you were out there?
No.
Oh.
No, you said you were going to go.
I know. Well, we were like, right.
What is it? I don't even know what Land of...
It's a big theme park.
Kurt talks about it.
He don't listen, does he?
No.
I do listen. It's just,
we talked about it in a podcast episode.
What episode?
I don't know the number.
Exactly. You don't know what episode.
It's like a massive resort thing in Antalya.
No, what episode was it? You don't know, you see? Anyway, go on.
It's like a massive resort place in Antalya, and it's got a theme park. It's got a water park.
Oh, yeah.
And then it does like shows, so like dolphin shows and stuff.
Yeah.
And then
it all lights up at night, doesn't it?
Yeah, and then so they say that at night we didn't stay, when we went, we didn't stay for the night. But the night time is like the parades, like you would see in like Disney World and stuff. Like it's like massive
characters.
Parades and characters and stuff like that. Like to stay there, it costs a fortune to stay because it's like got a hotel like built into it, like a resort, and it costs a fortune to stay there. But obviously, when you stay there, you've got unlimited access to the theme park, the water park. Do you know what I mean?
Why didn't you go then? Weather?
Exactly. So we were like, before we went, we looked online and we were like, right, should we book it before we go? And I were like,
Yeah.
Because I were like, but my main concern was, and we didn't know what to expect with the weather, But my main concern was, if we booked it for a particular day and then we found out there was something going off in the hotel or nearby, on that day, we'd be like, well, we can't do that now because we've already booked this. Yeah. Whereas we had all week to book to go to Land of Legends.
And it's not overly cheap either. It's not overly cheap, Land of Legends tickets, are they?
No.
Worth it, but...
Yeah.
How much are we talking?
Well, by all accounts, when we got there, because we were looking, and it was €25 each, which weren't bad, it weren't bad at all.
That's cheap.
That's very cheap.
It is. And €60 each way on in a taxi. There's no buses or anything running that way. So we were looking at it thinking, that's cheap. But then there was a guy came in, one of the reps, and he was like, oh, yeah, it's only open at night for night shows. The theme park's not open. And we were like, really?
Out of season.
But you could book the tickets online, so we were like, well, why can you still book tickets? And then people, we were looking on Facebook, we were looking online at different things. People were saying, depending on the weather, depends on what's open, and you could get there and it might be no rides or some rides. And we were like, you know, and we're going to get there, and if it is chucking it down, we're just going to get wet, you know, because we didn't know what to expect when we got there. So we ended up binning it off, and then we got towards the end of the week, the weather picked up, and it were like, right, do we go there or do we, you know, the kids want to go in the pool, on the slides, on the beach. So, sadly, the weather scuppered it for us. But
next time.
It is well worth it. Yeah. It is well worth it.
Yeah.
I mean, you couldn't have gone any more out of season than we went. We went in December.
Yeah.
And when we went there, luckily, on the day that we went, it were really nice weather.
Yeah.
But the water park wasn't open. That's only open, obviously, in season.
Yeah.
But the theme park was open and stuff like that. But we paid, I think, €60 a ticket.
Ooh, yeah. Wow.
And that's out of season.
Mm.
Wow, how much is it in season then?
I'll tell you what, the flight back, when we flew out, we flew with Pegasus. I've never even heard of him at the time.
Is that a flying horse?
Yeah. That's Turkey's airline. But on the way back, we flew EasyJet. Mm-hmm. And do you know what? One of the comfiest, if not the comfiest plane journey I've been on. The seats.
EasyJet?
Absolutely.
Were you sure you weren't in first class, Mark?
No, honestly.
It was
so comfortable, really comfortable.
A lot of the EasyJet planes, they're new, aren't they? They've like replaced a lot of them.
And I'd noticed on the branding on the side of the seats was a Recaro. You know, the manufacturer of the car seats and things.
Oh.
But they were really comfortable. Anyway, me and Ellen, we were like, right, on the way back, this is something else. Oh, I know.
He's on a roll.
Manchester Airport, I took the MacBooks. I thought, I'm going to play on Logic. Have a go, messing around with a bit of music on the plane on the way there, just to break the journey up.
You thought you'd have in bar before you went. You've got 5 or 6 hours to kill. Exactly.
I'd taken my studio headphones, and I put them in Mike's bag. So he got a bit more room in his hand luggage than what I got, and I just got them in my hand. I said, can I put these in your bag? And he said, yeah, no problem. Put them in his bag. And when we went to do the checking your bags in and everything, they looked at his hold all and they said, that's going to have to go in the hold. So never thought anything about it. His oversized bag went into the hold. I got my MacBook and I was like, I ain't got any headphones.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so we're like, right. I went downstairs to the shop and bought some. I'd never heard of this company called J Labs or whatever.
Oh yeah, I've seen them in airports.
Yeah, not particularly expensive, £30 or whatever for these little in-ear buds.
You know, you could have got some free ones on playing them little plastic.
Not with EasyJet,
ones.
You won't.
No,
well, you're not.
Not with Pegasus on the way out.
Oh.
Yeah, and I thought, you know, £30, they are what they are, and because I don't want to spend a lot of money on headphones, because I've got two or three pairs of headphones at home. Do you know what I mean? So it was just to. So gets the headphones, puts them in, and I'm like, I can barely hear anything other than everybody around me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's got noise cancelling, not working. I'm thinking, there's something not right here. And then I looked on the app and it said something about doing something to burn in the drivers and this, that, and then I thought, I've never seen that before. Anyway, on the way back, I said, I'm going to suss these headphones out because there's something not right. So I'm comparing it to Helen's phone, pairing them back to mine. I'm like, I don't get it. Inside the box, there was different size... the rubber bits, the grommets.
The ones in your ear.
I'd got the wrong size ones on, hadn't I? So I put the right ones on, literally, no sound. All I could hear was just the right level of. And I couldn't believe it. I was like, all the way there, I didn't use them because they were too quiet. I didn't realise you could change the grommets or whatever they are.
You know why that is, don't you? Because you didn't read the instructions first.
Have you seen the size of the instructions on those cards?
I'm telling you.
But on the way back, to break up the trip, because at that point we didn't know these headphones were going to be okay, me and Ellen both downloaded some offline games, because a lot of games on your phone now, they need to connect to the internet, which you obviously can't use on the plane. We downloaded this thing, it was just called Offline Games, and there was loads of different games on it, you know, Hangman and Checkers, Drafts and whatever, all that sort of stuff. And Ludo was on there.
Ooh, I like
Ludo. Do you know what? I didn't know the rules of Ludo.
Have changed.
No. What? No.
Have they changed them?
Because the game, because on the phone it just plays. So you're Helen's turn, then my turn, Helen's turn, then so on and so forth. The game then takes care of everything in between.
Apart the rules,
from you, apart from you picking the piece you want to move.
Yeah.
You know, you're rolling your dice. I didn't. Do you know the full rules of Ludo?
Well, I thought I did, but I have a feeling you're gonna enlighten me.
I don't think I've ever played it.
So
you have.
So, aim of the game.
To get all your pieces into the middle.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Right. Now, what can happen throughout the game?
You can lose. You don't get your pieces there.
That can hinder those chances. I didn't know this.
I've genuinely never played it.
Bearing in mind, I've not played Ludo since I was a child.
Well, neither have I, so I'm sorry if I'm way out there, but isn't there a certain rule that if somebody else lands on your square, that piece goes back to your home game?
Yeah. Never knew that were a thing.
Otherwise, you'd just be whoever gets the highest roll on a dice.
Exactly. Well, until the end, when you've got to get the right number to finish.
I knew that.
Did you?
Yeah.
Not a clue.
That's sort of the jeopardy of the game.
Yeah. Exactly. And you know what? We absolutely loved it.
This game's rubbish.
When you see board games and you go, no, I'm not bothered about Ludo, it's rubbish.
Yeah.
And now you're thinking, hang on a minute, this is really good because it's like dog eat dog, you know, and it's playing that piece there. Well, no, because that'll put you in front of them. And if you do go too far in front and, you know, like four or five, there's a chance that they might land on you. So stay on the safe square because there's a safe square as well. Yeah. And I was like, this is mind-blowing.
I thought Ludo was black and white pieces.
No, that's the blue,
that's
red,
fellow,
yellow.
That's
and
a fellow, isn't it?
That's frustration, what you're on about.
What?
Frustration.
Frustration is the one with the bobbly bit in the middle, isn't it? No,
I get where you... But
Ludo is a board game. Four pieces, is it?
Four pieces each,
Four pieces each in a square.
So it's frustration.
And then you...
You go around board, and if someone goes over you, jumps over you, they take your piece.
I think
they land on you. They've got to land on you.
Unless you've got two of your own on one square, then if that person lands on your square, you take theirs.
Oh, I have definitely never played Ludo.
Honestly, as soon as we got back, I was like, straight online, right, Ludo, I'm going to buy this game.
I'm going to get it for PS5.
in 3D, box form, the actual player.
Have you? But I bet you're going to...
Not yet, because there are so many variations. There's thousands of them. I want the actual one.
He's really excited about it. Honestly. His mind's been blown.
I would be like, this is incredible. Honestly, you know, you're like really pleasantly surprised by something. Yeah. Thinking it's going to be something else, and it turns into something that, well, we both get quite competitive. Right, I'm going to take that one out next. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, it is weird. I know we've spoken about games before, but it's weird how people have these, like, you know, sort of fashion games where they play their own version of it. You know, Monopoly's a good example of that.
Yeah, it's got loads of different rules. Yeah.
There are rules to Monopoly, of course there are, but you're playing Monopoly with different people who go, oh, we've always played it this way. Well, we play it this way. Everybody has their own little ways to play games. It's really weird, isn't it?
People stashing money in jail or
well, that's cheap. Well, that's cheating. But
it is.
But you know, because apparently, correct me if I'm wrong, but when you go round, if all the properties aren't... No, if you land on a property, you're supposed to auction it off, aren't you?
That's right. The proper rules.
Yeah, in the proper rules.
It has to be sold.
It has to be sold. But that's not the game I played.
If you land on it, you can choose whether to buy it or not. But if you choose not to buy it, it goes to auction.
Even the first time round in Monopoly, no one buys anything the first time round.
Load of crap. That's an added rule.
Is it?
Yeah.
So again, that's what I'm saying about everybody plays slightly differently.
First time round, you don't collect anything. No.
Well, you collect something past go, but...
No, yeah. It's all like,
really?
Honestly.
Yeah. That's my example of why we all play slight variations of it. But weirdly, as time goes on, we all think we're playing the game that as it stands.
You know
but
why, Mark?
But we're not.
Because people didn't read the instructions.
Mark did on these Ludo games.
Have you seen the new things they've got for Monopoly? These add-ons to the boards.
No.
So you know, like all these quirky little rules that people have come up with.
Well, like street lights and things.
Have become
wheelie bins and stuff.
Do not pass go. Put out the wheelie bins.
Unless you live in Birmingham. don't bother.
So they've got like add-ons.
They're not going to get emptied. Sorry.
There's an add-on. You buy it in a little box and it clicks onto your board. So like, for instance, you click it over free parking and it makes it the rule that you put all the money in this thing. Right. But the difference is there when you land on it, instead of just getting the money, it's a little wheel that you spin. And you either get it.
Wheel of Features.
Or, yeah. Are they copying us?
Not yet, Rob.
Us? Wow, so, I didn't know that.
But yeah, it's amazing. Obviously, someone came up with that rule at some point, and it's got that popular that even the makers of the board game have brought something out to go with it.
That's an idea, isn't it?
Go on. Sorry, I was going to ask you, obviously, me being me, I just wondered what the food was like in your hotel.
It was lovely.
Yeah?
Really nice. There was so much to choose from. Mm-hmm. So much.
Well, you weren't there. You were walking around restaurants, weren't you, looking for somewhere to eat?
No. Yes and no. When it was raining, I wasn't. No, but, you know, really nice. Loads to choose from.
Did you try some baklava?
I did.
Did you like it?
Yes. It's incredibly sweet.
Oh, it is. Yeah, they just pour syrup all over it, don't they?
I saw it and I thought, ooh, apple turnover. you know, me being cultured and all that. And I was like, wow, sugar overload.
Oh, I loved it when I was there. But I love pastry and, you know, sticky. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So I couldn't get enough for it, me.
Yeah. Anyway, changing the subject a little bit. I was sat at the home the other day. Not the home.
The home.
Our home. Yeah, I'm not in the home yet. Yeah. And there's a quiz show on telly, and it's what do you call the guy that was in
EastEnders?
No. Spandau Ballet.
Tony Adley.
No.
Martin Kemp.
His son. He hosts Capital Breakfast. He hosts a quiz show, and it's like they're in like go-kart things.
Go-karts?
One goes forward and then another
like
one.
Like Funhouse?
I think it's called... not like that.
Super Mario
They've
Kart.
They've got to answer so many questions.
His son's Summit Kemp.
That's it. Yeah,
he's all that.
Yeah, well kempt. Anyway.
It's on tip of my tongue. So, Kip Kemp.
You know when you get a feel that a contestant's not going to be very good?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one of the questions was... Psalm and psychology both begin with which silent letter?
Are we giving you the answer?
No.
Oh.
This guy replied, S. You just know, don't you? You just know. Anyway, lo and behold, he went into a quick fire round when he's got to answer so many questions in a row. Pass, pass, pass.
Really?
And you're like, this is just ridiculous. It would, you know.
Why did you even put yourself forward for it?
Why did you go for a quiz show if you can't do quick? You know, I mean, quiz questions.
Because my understanding when you go on a quiz, they sort of like test you a little bit, don't they? To see
you
if
think
you're
going to so.
Be. That's what people say.
But maybe they thought, well, hang on, he's a right thicko. He'd be great for telling.
That's the thing, it's the balance, isn't it?
We can have some fun with this one.
Yeah, because they don't want him to be too clever. I mean, I'd be great on it. I don't know nothing.
Speaking of quizzes.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah.
I asked you all a question last episode. Can you remember what I asked you?
Oh, you did. Moana.
Twigs, branches. Is that what sound effect?
I do remember you asked us what our specialist subjects would be or something.
So if you went on Mastermind, what would be your specialist subject?
Yes.
Now, would anyone like to hazard a guess why I asked that question?
Mine's Kirk. Beer.
That's not what you said.
Why did you ask that question, Kirk?
Well,
this is genuine because I didn't know you were going to do whatever you're going to do.
I know.
Oh, here we go.
But as listeners might think it's all planned.
But it really isn't. And I think our listeners know by now that bugger all of
there's no planning.
No one's under any illusion there, Mark. I can tell you that for a fact.
Much to my dismay.
If you got any sense, you'd know, knowing me as long as you've known me, if I ask a random question like that and don't give you any context behind it, I'm sure that you've all thought to yourself, next time he comes, he's going to come with some questions.
No, because I can't even remember you asking that question.
Well, I just thought we'd have a bit of fun.
Absolutely, I'm all for fun.
So I've asked guys have told me what your specialist subject is. Face.
Is it doom do do do?
So a little bit of Mastermind. All right, I'm going to do it a little bit different because Mastermind, this quick fire round, is based on time. However, I haven't had time to make sure that each question length is the same length and stuff like that. It wouldn't be fair. So I'm just going to, I've just got 20 questions each for you.
20?
Right. Yeah.
All right. On beer.
But the idea but the idea is, obviously, is it is meant to be a bit quickfire. So, okay. Yes, you can have a bit of thinking time,
oh,
but
God.
We're not going to be here all night. Right. All right? Okay. We're not going
to
be here all
and
night.
And to make it harder, are you going to ask Mark the Disney questions?
No.
And me, photography.
See, he doesn't remember asking the question, but he knows what subject he picked. He knows what subject he picked.
Ancient Greece, where he grew up.
So, Rob picked photography and all
so
that.
So, to give you a reminder, okay, Rob's specialist subject, because we're going to start. Shall we start with you, Rob? Or do you want to make it a bit more random?
I think we should make it a bit more random.
No, he don't want to start. He don't want to go first.
All right, so, Rob first. So. I mean, for the record, I'm just putting it out there, right?
Yeah.
The hardest subject is definitely Mark's.
Which one?
Matt, me?
No, other one.
Oh, thank goodness for that.
Great.
Brilliant. I can't even remember. What is yours, Mark?
He can't pick it for me.
He can work it out.
Yeah.
So we'll get there. Okay.
Oh, dear.
Somebody try and keep track of the score, all right? Right. Rob,
I'm stopped watching.
You're all right asking me because I go yes, no, and then I sorry. Go on, Mark. I'll do Rob's scoring for him.
So your specialist subject is filmmaking. Thanks. Ready? I was just going to put the actual music on.
All right.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
What is the primary function of a storyboard in pre-production?
To make the film. They use a storyboard to establish the shots.
Okay, we'll come back to it. What are the three main stages of filmmaking?
Pre-production, production. Post-production.
Correct. In sound design, what is Foley work?
Making sound effects.
Correct. What is the purpose of a shot list when is it typically used?
A shot list is just what shot you're going to shoot.
Correct. Which camera...
Why can't I have this category?
Which camera movement involves the camera being mounted on a track for smooth motion?
Dolly.
Correct. What is the term for a raw, unedited footage recorded on set?
Raw.
No, what is the term for the raw, unedited footage recorded on set?
Oh, I know it, but I don't know it.
Okay, moving on. What is a key light in the three-point lighting system?
The main light.
Correct. During which stage of
production?
During which stage of production does colour grading occur?
Right at the very end.
Yes, I'll give you a post-production. What does the term blocking refer to in film production?
Direction.
Correct.
Putting the actors where they are.
What is the purpose of using green screen during filmmaking?
To get rid of the background.
Correct. What is a long take and how does it differ from a traditional sequence of shots?
It lasts longer than a minute.
Extended, yeah.
These are easy questions.
What is the main difference between a dolly shot and a zoom shot?
A dolly shot goes left to right, a zoom goes forward and backwards.
Yeah, I'll give you that. In filmmaking, what does a shot reverse shot technique involve?
It goes forward, then backwards.
Incorrect. What is the role of a script supervisor during filming?
To make sure that the actors follow the script.
How does a match cut transition between two shots?
It's where the last part of the first shot matches the first part of the second shot.
Correct. What is an anamorphic? Thank you, lens. And why is it used in filmmaking?
It gives a wider perception of view.
Correct.
Yeah. Beep, beep, beep.
In cinematography, I've started so finish. In cinematography, what is the effect of using a shallow depth of field?
To give. Bokeh in the background to give a blurred background.
Correct. What is the role of digital imaging technician on a film set?
Pass. Don't know.
What does a director typically work with actors during a scene's rehearsal?
Sorry?
How does a director typically work with actors during a scene's rehearsal?
One to one.
Incorrect. What is B-roll and why is it important in filmmaking?
It's all the shots that don't include the actors.
Correct. Well done.
Yeah, was that all right?
I think you did well there.
Who wrote those questions? You, Rob.
Yeah, I think you did right. No.
I think you got 15.
So ones that you either passed or got wrong on. Which one was it? Sorry. You got that right. What is the term? Raw. So raw, unedited footage is dailies or rushes.
Oh, yes.
Oh, he knows it now.
I didn't know it. It's like anything.
He forgot he'd wrote.
You were just panicked. You were stressed.
What is the main difference between a dolly shot and a zoom shot? A dolly shot physically moves the camera, while a zoom shot... Oh, no, you got that right.
Yeah.
You got that right. What does a shot reverse shot technique involve? The technique alternates between two shots, typically showing characters talking to each other.
Oh, never knew that one.
You got that right. What is the role of digital imaging technician? The DIT manages the camera's digital workflow, ensuring colour accuracy and date integrity.
Oh, I don't know that.
How does a director typically work with actors during scenes rehearsal, blocking and timing? So I think you got four wrong. I think that's 16.
Oh, 16 then.
Yeah. Well done.
Yeah, well done.
I think you did really well there.
I'm quite happy with that. Thank
you,
boys.
I think you should be.
And you're currently in first place.
Oh, currently.
I mean... Would you like to go next?
Yes, Mark. I think...
I got mine are like, what does Oasis begin with? What letter?
A.
Yeah.
I wrote your questions and then thought, I've been really cruel here.
Yeah. Really? There's a surprise.
I still don't know what subject he's on, but anyway.
Okay, well, we'll do Mark next.
Which one?
Me.
Other one.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
And your specialist subject...
Have you changed it?
Mark, is 90s music.
Ooh.
Oh,
that's all right for you.
Oh, this is easy.
Don't get excited.
All right, okay.
Okay.
Oh, dear.
I do feel bad. So.
I'm going to know these, aren't I? You should know these, Mark. Come on.
Hold on. Can I just give a disclaimer? Because you're going to think I've been really cruel. The problem with writing questions about 90s music is if I'd have gone for the obvious questions, you'd have just got them all right. So I've tried to go for questions that will actually test your knowledge. Mm.
Okay.
Rather than it just being obvious. There's some easy ones in there.
If Mark doesn't know it, can I answer?
No. Oh. It's not how Mastermind works. No. Okay. So, you ready?
Skills.
You ready?
Go on.
What music genre, originating from Manchester in the late 80s and early 90s, heavily influenced British pop culture in the early 90s?
How specific are you being?
It's a name. It's a name of a type of music, but not one that I've ever heard of before in my life.
Shoegaze?
No. What production team known as the Hit Factory was behind many 90s UK pop hits? Which production team known as the Hit Factory was behind many 90s UK pop hits for artists like Kylie Minogue?
That was Stock Aitken and Waterman.
Well done. What band released the iconic album Definitely Maybe in 1994?
Hey! Oasis.
Well done. In 1997, which UK girl group's second album became the fastest selling album in UK music history?
1997?
Mm-hmm.
Second album?
Yep.
Spice Girls?
Correct. What technique associated with dance and house music involves looping samples from earlier recordings?
Sampling?
Correct. Which British trip hop group released Dummy in 1994, considered a landmark album in the genre?
Trip hop.
So which British trip hop group released Dummy in 1994?
I'll come back to that.
What iconic 1995 concert marked a peak in Britpop culture?
Nebworth?
Correct. What studio effect famously associated with the Verve's urban hymns gives vocals a dreamy echo-like quality?
It's an effect.
So what studio effect famously associated with the Verve's urban hymns gives vocals a dreamy echo-like quality?
Reverb?
Correct. Which British electronic band released music for the Jilted Generation in 1994?
Prodigy.
Correct. What term describes the mix of reggae, dub and electronic music pioneered by artists like Massive Attack?
That is trip-hop.
Well done. Blur's single, Song 2, is known for its unique production. What instrument drives its iconic loud, quiet, loud dynamic?
Sorry, I'd zoned out.
Blur's single, Song
yeah.
2.
Song
is,
2, yeah.
Is known for its unique production.
Yeah.
What instrument drives its iconic loud, quiet, loud dynamic? Instrument. What instrument?
Guitar.
Correct. What term was used to describe the rivalry between Blur and Oasis during the Britpop era?
What term? Mm-hmm. I can't remember. My mind's gone blank. Go on.
Okay, moving on. Which iconic 90s music producer worked on Radiohead's OK Computer in 1997?
Iconic music producer?
Yeah.
It's not Oakenfold, is it?
Nope. What was the purpose of the BBC Radio 1 Live Lounge introduced in the 90s? What was the purpose of the BBC Radio 1's Live Lounge introduced in the 90s?
What was the purpose?
Yep.
To get musicians in playing live music?
Correct. What British group combined elements of ska, punk and reggae in their 1995 hit All Right?
Ska, punk and reggae?
In their 1995 hit All Right.
1995 hit?
Yep.
All Right.
Yep.
Oh, you know it, Mark.
You do.
Ska, punk and reggae?
Yep. Which British group think combined of elements of ska, punk and reggae in their 1995 hit All Right?
Ska, punk, reggae.
I'm going to move on. You're going to kick yourself.
What the song is.
I will kick myself.
Moving on. In terms of production, what distinguishes the sound of 90s garage music in the UK?
What? Bass. Bassline. No, but
I'm going to give you that. Which 90s boy band produced by Simon Cowell rose to fame with hits like Back for Good?
Take That.
Correct. The Chemical Brothers were pioneers of which electronic music subgenre in the 90s?
There's loads of different ways you go with this. Breaks, techno.
No. What song recorded in Liverpool became a global anthem for AIDS awareness in the 1990s?
I was still thinking about that last question.
What song recorded in Liverpool became a global anthem for AIDS awareness in 1990?
1990, recorded in Liverpool. All Together Now.
Incorrect. Which indie label, founded in the 90s, helped launch the careers of artists like Pulp and Elastica?
Elastica. It's not Island Records, is it?
It isn't, no. Well, listen, I still think you did absolutely brilliant there.
Yeah, I thought you did very well, mate.
I thought you did well.
Honestly, I really do. They were tough questions. So the question one was, what music genre originated from Manchester in the late 80s, early 90s, heavily influenced British pop culture in the early 90s? Manchester.
Oh, right, okay. I just call that a slang term for the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which British trip...
I'm not going to correct you, by the way.
Which British trip-hop group released Dummy in 1994? That was Portishead.
Right, okay. Yeah.
You got that. So what term was used to describe the rivalry between Blur and Oasis? It was the Battle of Britpop.
Right.
I think you was overthinking
it. I just thought it were Britpop.
Iconic 90s music producer worked on Radiohead's OK Computer. Did you want another guess at that?
Yeah. No, it's not. No, go on.
Nigel Godrich. Okay. Mark, you're going to right kick yourself here. So what British group combined elements of ska, punk and reggae in their 1995 hit All Right?
Can I answer
this?
I'm trying
to
think of which All Right, because there's loads of different... It's not Supergrass, is it?
It is, yeah.
Yeah, right. Supergrass.
Supergrass.
I'm going to say, just concentrate on the title of the song.
Yeah, the title of the song. I was thinking too much about the genres. Yeah,
well, that's what I'm saying. Come on, because it threw me, the genres.
Yeah. Chemical Brothers were pioneers of which electronic music subgenre? Big beat.
Right, okay.
What song recorded in Liverpool became a global anthem for AIDS awareness? It was The Power of Love by Frankie Goes to Hollywood.
Right, okay, yeah.
And the last one, which indie label founded in the 90s helped launch the careers of artists like Pulp and Elastica? Rough Trade Records.
Rough Trade.
I have a question. We got, you know, the Take That one.
Yes, Simon Fuller.
Yeah, it's Simon Fuller, not Simon Cowell.
Okay, sorry. I've got Simon Cowell here.
Yeah, I picked up on that and I thought I might have heard it.
Do you know what? I did think to myself, actually, when I was doing the research,
yeah.
I did think to myself, I didn't know Simon Cowell, I don't know if we take that.
I mean, yeah. I mean, yeah. even more reason, and Robbie about it, because obviously that Robbie Williams film,
yeah.
You know, they make reference to Simon Fuller in it, but not
anyway,
Simon
how many did he get right?
11.
11. Well, do you know what?
Well done,
they were really tough questions then.
That were very good, yeah.
That's put you in first place. No, they were tough questions.
So last and not least, now I'm going to be, this is going to be really interesting.
Yeah.
All right. So Mark.
Yeah.
If you remember, your specialist subject was Disney World.
Okay. The thing is, there's going to be a lot of dates in this. And this.
Okay. You said it.
Are you ready?
Well, I'm ready as I'm going to do
it,
babe.
What mouse can you find at Disney?
Yeah, go on.
Okay. What year did Walt Disney World, Florida officially open to the public?
1971.
Correct. What is the name of the lake at the entrance of Magic Kingdom that guests cross to reach the park?
Bay City Lake?
Incorrect. Which Disney World theme park features the geodesic sphere attraction known as Spaceship Earth?
Epcot.
Correct. What is the name of the underground tunnel system used by cast members to navigate Magic Kingdom?
Come back to it.
What was the first roller coaster built in Walt Disney World?
First roller coaster?
Yeah, what was the first roller coaster built at Walt Disney World?
Rock and roller?
Incorrect. Disney's Animal Kingdom is home to which immersive land based on famous James Cameron film?
Avatar.
Correct. What does Epcot stand for?
Experimental Prototype Community of Tomorrow.
Well done, yes. Which hotel within Walt Disney World is themed after the South Pacific Islands?
Polynesian.
Correct. What method is used to recycle trash at Walt Disney World to reduce its environmental footprint?
Say that again.
What method is used to recycle rubbish at Disney World to reduce its environmental footprint?
What method?
How it's collected.
Well, it goes in the bins, in the trash, and it goes underground. And it's people don't actually empty the bins because it goes underground.
I'm going to give you...
I don't know what that system's called.
I'll wait and see if they want to give you that. Is the name of the nighttime fireworks show held at Magic Kingdom?
Oh, what's the name of it?
Mm-hmm. You know this.
I do, but it constantly changes. What's the name of the fireworks show?
What's the name of the fireworks show held at Magic Kingdom?
Ever After?
No, I'm not getting you. Which ride in Disney World is famously known for its song "Yo Ho, a Pirate's Life for Me"?
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Correct. The Tower of Terror ride is themed after which famous television anthology?
Twilight Zone.
Correct. What does the term Imagineer refer to in the context of Disney parks?
It's a fusion of two words: an Imagineer, somebody who's with imagination, and an engineer.
Yes. What is the name of the futuristic land in Magic Kingdom featuring attractions like Space Mountain?
Tomorrowland.
Correct. How many theme parks are there at Walt Disney Resort, Florida? Not including water parks. How
many theme parks? So Magic Kingdom, Epcot, Hollywood Studios, Animal Kingdom, 4.
Correct. What is the name of the famous dining experience in Cinderella Castle at Magic Kingdom?
Beauty and the Beast?
No. Which transportation system connects Epcot and Magic Kingdom?
Monorail.
Correct. What is the name of the River Rapids attraction at Disney's Animal Kingdom?
Cali River Rapids.
Correct. Disney World uses a colour-coded system to guide cast members in maintenance areas. What is the system called?
I don't know.
And which Disney World park features the rock and roll coaster starring Aerosmith?
Disney Hollywood Studios.
Correct.
The going back to the door is called Summit Doors.
Corridors.
He's so close.
It's doors. Elector. It's gone. Anyway, give me.
Well done.
Thank you.
Well done. See, you weren't too bad, was it?
No, it weren't too bad, yeah.
So the ones you got wrong or couldn't answer. So what is the name of the lake at the entrance of Magic Kingdom that guests cross to reach the park? Seven Seas Lagoon.
Custers.
So what is the name of the underground tunnel system used by cast members to navigate Magic Kingdoms? The Utilidors.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I wouldn't have got any of those right.
I don't think so. What was the first roller coaster built in Walt Disney World? Space Mountain.
Yeah.
You got that right. Yeah, well done on what Epcot stands for, mate.
The waste one,
yeah. So it's vacuum-powered trash collection.
Okay, right.
Is he having it or not? He says that people don't really touch it. We can have it underground.
Nobody empties the bins because it goes straight into the utility doors.
What is the name of the nighttime fireworks show? I was a bit harsh here, but it's Happily Ever After.
Happily Ever After. Well, it is currently, but...
Right. I didn't ask you what it's going to be in the future.
No, but they change it every like 6 months, 12 months, whatever.
Got that right. So what is the name of the famous dining experience in Cinderella Castle? It's the Cinderella's Royal Table.
Cinderella, yeah.
You got that right. And obviously this is a bit difficult, this, if you've got the other one, but Disney World uses a colour-coded system to guide cast members in maintenance areas. What's the system called? It's the utility door colour code.
Could you imagine if I were trying to work to that being colourblind? Absolutely.
Good question. What are you doing over here?
So it's
blue.
Yeah. How many did he get right?
14.
Oh, well done. Well done.
Thank you. How many did you get?
I got 16,
didn't
I?
You did.
You're just going, it's a camera. It's just a storyboard. Well done.
So
thank
there you go,
Kurt.
Guys. I just thought it was just a bit. I like throwing stuff.
Yeah,
at you.
I enjoyed that.
I can't explain this because some people might be like, "Oh, it's a bit random or whatever." I do it because I can't explain enough how this is not planned. They had no idea that I was coming in with them questions right there.
Absolutely, they were good. Them. I enjoyed them.
I did enjoy that. Yeah.
I think you did really well. Marks were definitely the hardest questions.
Oh, yours were definitely the hardest, Mark.
They were.
There were some very easy ones. You know, Oasis and Take That.
But there were also some questions across the board. When I wrote them, I thought, oh, I don't know whether they're going to know this. That then. You've almost shocked me that you got it.
Yeah. So. Well, I think I'd have got maybe a couple of Robs. I wouldn't have got any of yours, Mark.
None.
I wouldn't have got any.
I would have got a couple of Robs.
I wouldn't have got any.
And I'd have got a couple of yours.
Yeah, you would have got. You'd have got Avatar, Pandora.
I'd have got Avatar. Yeah.
There were a couple that were.
Yeah.
The listeners are going, well, what about you, Kirk?
I know.
Us three need to get our heads together. Don't
we?
Yeah.
What would have been your specialist subject?
He's thinking, I'll pick a subject that's really easy because they're going to get some questions.
Colours.
Colours and shapes.
Yeah. What would it have been?
I would say maybe...
Dieting.
Food. Yeah, Slimming World, yeah. Slimming World. Suits, the TV show. Suits.
Oh, yeah.
What, suits. Literally on one thing.
Really?
You don't know how specialist subjects work, Rob, don't you?
Yeah.
Rob?
Yeah, I'm here.
What's he doing?
What are you doing?
You're not doing it right now, are you?
I absolutely am, yeah.
What a quiz now?
Really?
Yeah. According to ChatGPT.
Really?
All right, here we go.
Are you ready?
You lot have had a week to prepare. At least I asked you the question.
You said a week to prepare. We've not planned this.
Well, I know we haven't planned it, but I asked you the question last week.
Yeah, but right. Here are
20 questions about Suits, the TV show, ranging from general trivia to more detailed character and plot questions.
Are you asking 20 questions? Oh, yeah.
No. Are you ready, Kirk?
No. No, really not.
This is great.
No, it isn't.
Oh, I love it.
What colour eyes does the chef have?
Question number one, so I'm keeping track.
Meghan Markle. Easy.
What is the name of the law firm where most of the series take place?
Well, it had loads of names.
Oh, hold on a minute. It's giving me questions, but it ain't giving me answers.
You can say anything.
Donald Duck.
Hold on. At the end, want the answers to these questions, or maybe you want to turn this into a quiz format? Can I have the answers?
Jesus Christ.
Is this Rob's riddles? I'm a bit anxious about this.
Well, this is how we felt.
Oh.
Right.
Who's editing this one?
Right. So, what is the name of the law firm where most of the series take place?
Well, I'd go with Pearson Hardman.
Is correct. And then later becomes Pearson Spectre Lift.
Lit.
And then
it becomes several other names after that. Yeah. But carry on.
So, one. Okay. One. Number two.
I'll keep track.
Who plays Harvey Spectre?
Gabriel Macht.
Correct. What unique talent does Mike Ross have that gets him hired?
He's got a photographic memory.
Correct. Who is the founding partner that the firm is originally named after?
I don't know. Pass.
Okay. Number five. What is the relationship between Rachel Zane and Mike Ross?
They end up getting married, but...
Start as colleagues and become a couple and get engaged. Mm-hmm. Why is Mike's employment at the firm risky and illegal?
Because he didn't have a law degree.
Correct. What role does Louis Litt play at the firm?
He's a, is a senior partner.
Correct. Who is Donna Paulson to Harvey Specter?
Starts off as his secretary.
Correct. What Ivy League school does Mike claim to have graduated from?
Harvard.
Correct. What position does Jessica Pearson hold at the beginning of the series?
Managing partner.
Correct. What is the famous catchphrase Harvey used about winning? Uses about winning. What's the famous catchphrase Harvey uses about winning?
Well, it's not that famous. You don't know.
About winning?
Yeah.
What's win at all costs?
No.
Okay.
Who eventually discovers Mike's secret first?
Jessica Pearson.
Correct. What is the name of Louis Litt's cat?
It's Lewis, by the way. I'm just letting you know.
Oh. What is the name of Louis Litt's cat?
I know this.
Go for an obvious one. Fluffy.
No.
Tiddles.
Moving on.
Yeah.
Number 14. Why does Jessica Pearson leave the firm?
She gets her license revoked. She owns up to knowing about Mike and takes the blame.
It doesn't say that here.
She get disbarred.
No, don't say that. 15. That's right, what was the real reason Trevor got Mike into trouble?
Because he found out that Mike was sleeping with his ex-girlfriend.
Correct. Who becomes a managing partner alongside Harvey in the later seasons?
Zane. What's his first name? It's Rachel Zane's dad. Mr. Zane.
Incorrect. 17. How does Rachel Zane's legal career progress throughout the series?
Say that again, sorry, I zoned out.
How does Rachel Zane's legal career progress throughout the series?
She starts off as a paralegal and then becomes a... she passes the bar and becomes a lawyer.
Correct. 18. What happens to Mike Ross at the end of the series?
He's got his own law firm.
Correct. How does the dynamic between Harvey and Louis evolve over the seasons?
Well, right. How long you got? Take a seat. They're colleagues, but they're friends. Lewis like kind of adores.
How does
Harvey.
It start?
They're colleagues. They're friends because they're both junior.
I'm going to say that's incorrect. And 20.
Like, I'm not. But.
Which character? Which character gets a spin-off show? What's it called?
There's actually two spin-offs now. So this, the newest one is Suits LA, but I'm going to guess that what he's asking for is the one with Jessica Pearson.
Correct. Yes, that's it.
Wow.
I think you did.
I didn't understand any of that.
I didn't understand any of it.
I think you did absolutely brilliant there.
Well, I did because I didn't know any of them. And, you got 14. You got 14 right.
No, I think I got more than that because...
right, so, okay.
I'm going on 14 based on Rob going, nope,
How does the dynamic between Harvey and Louis evolve over the seasons? They go from tense rivals to close friends partners.
Absolutely not. They're never rivals. They're never rivals.
It says really? Here.
They work for the same law firm. Lewis has to have counselling because of how much he worships Harvey.
Right.
They're not rivals at all.
Right. The other one that you didn't right... Who became a managing partner alongside Harvey in the later seasons? Louis Litt.
It's Louis Litt.
Louis Litt.
Fine.
I want to know what the cat were called.
I know, that's what I'm sat here waiting for.
Mikado. Who eventually... Who was the founding partner? Daniel Hardman. I think you got that one.
You see, again, that's incorrect. I didn't get that right.
Who is the founding partner?
He wasn't a founding partner.
Really?
Right.
I mean, he wasn't the founding partner. This is ChatGPT that came up with it. But
he was a named partner, hence why it was Pearson Hardman. But it was named stuff before that, before Hardman came onto the scene.
So we'll say that out of the two, out of them that you got wrong, we'll say you got two of them right. Mm-hmm. That puts you on 16.
Yeah.
So it's a draw.
I'll take that.
It's a draw. It's a draw.
You know that last little bit where he's asking you questions and he's going no, and you're going no, it's right.
Yeah.
Have you? It just reminds me. I don't know if you guys ever saw
mine and Kirk's friendship.
No.
The years and years.
No, there were a program. There were like a in 90s. There were a program called Balls of Steel. Did any of you ever see it? And they got different characters on every week. And basically, the one of guys, he were a quiz thing, and it was set up. And they were asking questions, like specialised questions, to this guy. And he's asking him questions, and he'd answer them correctly, like you, Kirk. And the guy was asking questions, going, no, that's incorrect. And this guy, bear in mind, he thought he were doing like a pilot for a new quiz thing on TV. So he didn't think it was undercover. And he was asking him questions, going, incorrect, that's wrong. And he's going, no. And it just reminded me of you. And
were they doing it on purpose? Were the answers correct?
The answers what the guy was giving was correct, yes. So like,
it was like a wind-up show.
Like a prank show.
Right.
But this guy was getting really irritated by him going, that's incorrect. He's going, no, I know it's right. And that's exactly... that's it. And he was getting really infuriated. And he's like, sort of trying to stop cameras going, this isn't right. But it just reminded me. Anybody who's seen the show will know exactly what I'm talking about. And you were exactly like Kirk going, no, I know it's right.
Kirk's now thinking, why didn't I just chuff in ChatGPT my questions? Because he did it in a matter of seconds.
Yeah, but we'd be doing all that to Kirk. No, that's not right.
Yeah.
That's not right, Kirk. Yeah. At least he's done his research.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks for that.
Yeah, you're welcome. And well done for that. Because you did very well.
Well done, Kirk. Yes. Well
done. You saddo.
Yes.
Mm. How many seasons of Suits is there?
Just one. Just six episodes, that's all.
No, it's the seven seasons.
Wow.
And there's what? How many episodes in each one? About 20, 20? 30?
Yeah, that's where I get to the point
and
where
I watched it all front to back three times.
Oh. How many times have you watched 24?
Only twice.
Oh, really?
I've watched 24 twice. I've watched Suits three times. I've watched
House of Cards.
West Wing four times. I'm just about to restart it again.
Oh, Mike, can I ask you a question about Suits? Because Meg,
you've got too much time.
I don't know. You sleep too much.
I sleep at night and I work.
He messaged me. We were messaging last night. We were talking about food and diets and stuff. And we messaged me last night and we were just having a chat. This out of there. 8:20 he texts me. Right, pal, I'm going to bed. Night. Thinking 8:20.
It was 10 to 9.
I mean, it is funny that.
I'll get a question out in a minute.
Go on, Mike.
Yeah, my question is, Suits, Meghan Markle's in it, isn't she?
Yes.
Is she any good as an actress?
Very good. Right. I think so. Okay. I'm not being over biased or whatever. I don't know what she's like in real life. None of us do. But as an actor, she was very good.
That's what she was first and foremost, wasn't it? So
I'm not saying, oh no, I think she's good, but I don't know. I just want to know if she was any good.
I think it's funny that
actress.
When you get to, I think it's season 6 or something like that, which is towards the end of the show. Obviously, she gets written out because. As soon as she gets with Harry, she's not allowed on it anymore. And so...
Is she not? She's not allowed off because she's dating
She wasn't allowed. Yeah, the royal family. So she wasn't allowed to continue doing what she was doing.
All right.
A lot of it is because they can't be seen to be doing like sex scenes on TV or kissing other people on TV and stuff like that.
That doesn't stop Harry.
No.
Does she have a sex scene in it?
Yeah, a couple, yeah.
What? No.
Asking for her friends. What episode?
She's very fit, you know. Anyway.
Time at the bar, please.
You know, you posed a really good point there a minute ago when you said you've got too much time on your hands. Because that is a massive bone of contention with me when people say, because I get it a lot, because I ain't got kids, and I make YouTube videos. We've got a podcast. Well,
you don't make YouTube videos.
Well, no, at the minute, I don't.
Not really.
At the minute, I don't.
One every 18 months.
And I get it all the time. You've got too much time on your hands. And I think, no, I just choose to spend my time differently than what you choose to spend your time.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
Yeah.
And people do say it a lot, don't they?
Look, I said to people, if people said to me, what's your hobby? What do you like doing? Everyone just presumes that a hobby should be something physical or something active or, you know, whatever it is. It isn't my hobby. Is I enjoy watching TV. Watching different things on TV, documentaries, whatever it is. It's just my way of being able to shut off. And the reason why I like watching these programs over and over again, when I believe that they're very good and very clever programs, which is about the scripts and the characters, is because you can just shut off to it and watch it and just enjoy it.
I saw something the other day about... Oh, no, you sent it me. Aaron Sorkin doing a stage play.
Yes, I really want to go and see it.
Yeah, what is it? To Kill a Mockingbird?
To Kill a Mockingbird, Aaron Sorkin's director. It's on at Leeds Playhouse.
Mm. I think I'm going to fall asleep with Mark.
Yeah, so shall we spin a wheel?
Yes, let's.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, it's spinning.
What's it going to be?
Oh, I'm just so excited.
Come on.
He's nearly there.
The Wheel of Features.
Yep. So last week then was one that you guys were just laughing at.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Yeah.
We'll play it again.
Okay.
And do you still have any
idea? Absolutely no idea.
Absolutely no idea.
No idea.
All I could get was Fraggle Rock. Come to Fraggle Rock. No. Grab a Fraggle bag.
Can you not do it like a HD version?
He's one of
it?
The most famous musicians in the world.
Michael Jackson.
No.
Elton John.
No.
They are famous.
Yeah.
Hans Zimmer.
No.
Is it?
I'll just cut to the chase, shall I?
Yeah.
Go on, then.
It's Stevie Wonder. Signed, sealed, delivered.
Oh, of course it is.
Wow.
Doom.
You see what?
Doom, you really do hear it different in your head, don't you? I can hear when it's playing back.
Are you tone deaf, Bob?
I'm just not very good on the kazoo.
Spin wheel, otherwise Rob's just going to do all the song.
Spin the wheel.
It didn't sound all like
that. I'm going to clip him. Mark, spin it.
Do I need to take the mic?
Yeah.
All right, we're spinning wheel. Are we ready?
Yeah.
Here we go, guys.
In the time it took, he could have traveled to the moon. Rob's Riddles finally has a theme tune. Can you guess it? Will you solve it? Rob's Riddles. Rob's Riddles. Rob's Riddles. Rob's Riddles.
Right, I think so now this works then. I'm going to give you some riddles. That's it.
And we're going to cross our fingers and hope for the best.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, you ready?
Yep. Yes.
Arnold Schwarzenegger's is long, Donald Trump's is short, and Madonna doesn't have one. What is it?
Surname.
Correct. Yes, well done.
Oh, are we back to trivia questions? Or?
Well,
my brain had not even engaged before you said that.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
That was just a warm up, anyway.
Okay.
Here we go again.
I'll see how much you get it.
Warm ups.
Okay.
The man who makes it doesn't want it. The man who buys it doesn't need it. And the man who needs it doesn't know it yet. What is it?
Kirk knows this, but you know it, don't you?
I've heard it before, but I can't remember the answer.
I've heard it before.
Did you just say it again, Rob?
The man who makes it doesn't want it. The man who buys it doesn't need it. And the man who needs it doesn't know it yet. What is it?
Red?
Red?
No, doesn't need it.
I know it. When he says the answer, I'll go, oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's...
I think I know it.
Go on.
I think I've remembered. A coffin.
Correct. Two for Kirk.
That's coffin.
I'm going to give you another one. Yeah. Okay. You've gotten them quite quick. There are five sisters in a room.
Ooh.
Annie's reading a book. Margaret is cooking. Kate is playing chess. And Marie is doing the laundry. What's the fifth sister doing?
Say it again.
There are five sisters in a room. Anne is reading a book. Margaret is cooking. Kate is playing chess. And Marie is doing the laundry. What's the fifth sister doing?
Playing chess.
With?
The other one?
Yeah. Well done.
Yeah, playing chess with Kate.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah.
Did you, I guess?
That was difficult, weren't it?
Well, that a guess, Mark, or you just worked it out?
But one was not playing chess on their own.
Right, I'll give you one more, since you've done so well. There are two ducks in front of a duck, two ducks behind a duck, and a duck in the middle. How many ducks are there?
Too many.
Two ducks in front of a duck.
There are two ducks in front of a duck.
Yeah.
Two ducks behind a duck.
Yeah.
And a duck in the middle.
Three.
Yeah. How many are there?
Three.
Well, he's saying three and you're saying five.
That's correct, yeah.
Four.
I'm going to read it one more time. There are two ducks in front of a duck,
yep.
Two ducks behind a duck, and a duck in the middle. How many ducks are there?
Three.
So two ducks in front of a duck.
Yep.
Two ducks behind a duck.
Yep.
And two ducks in the middle.
No, and a duck in
and
the middle.
And a duck in the middle.
Yeah.
Three.
Five.
The answer is three. Well done, Mark.
Thank you.
Oh, okay.
I know what you were doing. You were adding two other ducks behind the other ducks.
Well done. Well done.
Well done, boys. I think you did very well there.
I didn't. I'm still on question one.
Well, in all fairness, normally through that one, you just normally go, I know this one.
Well,
but I forgot.
I did with the coffee. I didn't know that one. I heard it and I forgot.
And on that note,
it's been a pleasure, boys.
See you next week.
Bye.
Thank you for your continued support with our independent podcast. Did you know that you can interact with us and other listeners on Facebook on the Chat In Tap Room Facebook group? You can also get in touch via email in the chat at gmail.com and, of course, on any of our socials. Thank you, and we'll see you next week.